Testing. 1, 2. Testing. Testing. 1, 2. Oh, for Christ. Miney, please, why are we trying to record now? We just saved the world. There's no need to... I know this is the best setup we have, but that isn't the point. We could do this later, in better conditions. I'm not going to bloody forget what... Oh, it's on? Finally decided to work. Yes, I'm doing it. Okay. This is Harry James Potter, co-pilot of Swooping Mist. The date is... The day after we collapsed the breach, year 2033. Anyway, it's a beautiful cloudy day, and I'm supposed to tell you, whoever you are, how I saved the world. No joke. Even if I wasn't really the only one who did it. I know there's a certain amount of leeway granted to me because I'm the one the media knows, as if all Jaeger pilots weren't celebrities by themselves. But as I've said, I'm the one with credit. I'm the one who has to do it for the record. Thanks, Hermione! I don't know where to begin. This is the story that shaped me. Shaped everyone I know. It might seem weird to future generations, but I don't know a single person who can't tell you at least the outline of what I'm about to say. does make a guy feel redundant. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, before I talk about stuff everyone already knows about, I just want everyone listening, everyone who's lived through this, to know that this is our story. Not just mine. It belongs to everyone who survived. And I suppose it starts in San Francisco. The city is a lot smaller than it used to be, and I've seen photos. After the kaiju attacked, yeah, it was leveled. I'm told 40% of the infrastructure was totaled after it crashed through, and the exact number of casualties are tough to look at. I was at San Francisco when that all went down. Or, well, I was, but I don't remember it. Does anyone remember what was going on when they were 15 months? I was tiny. All I really know about the time is what other people have told me, and the photographs. Or should I say, the photograph? I'm sure you know the one. Me in a blanket, nearly untouched with San Francisco in ruins in the background. Some journalist took it and then died of kaiju blue. I'm still not sure whether to be glad or not that I never got to talk to them. Without that photo, I doubt I'd be nearly as well known today. Mom said it was on TV for ages after that. All I know is that whenever I went to interviews back then, that was always the photo they pulled up. Me in San Francisco. I suppose it was symbolic or something. Anyway, after that, despite what most people think, Jaegers weren't really a thing. My mom, Lily J. Potter. Yes, that Lily. My whole family was famous. Already had the idea floating around, but they all thought it'd be a one-time thing, you know? That they'd defeated it, and that was the end of the kaiju. I can't imagine a world without kaiju, but Da says the second one was just as big of a shock as the first. Mom started campaigning pretty soon after that, for funds, for backing, for recognition that nukes just weren't going to cut it. There's still parts of California that you can't visit because of that first blast. And don't even mention Sydney. My mom used to rant forever about the idiocy behind that choice. It won her the funding, though. Half the city destroyed, the whole thing nearly unlivable due to radiation. It certainly made the international community see that nukes weren't sustainable long-term. And kaiju were long-term. I don't know what they were doing before, but Sydney lit a fire under their collective arse. Mom was already talking to a lot of governmental aides who had been telling her, politely of course, to go away and stop asking to see their leaders. Once she managed to meet and convince the United Nations, she and Caitlin Lightcap managed to collaborate and create Jaegers as they're known today. Caitlin was one of the first pilots and survived to see Mark IV start production. I knew her best as Auntie Kate, though. She stopped by a lot when I was young. She's one of the reasons that... We made sure to kill the kaiju that got Brawler Yukon. Anyway, after the Jaeger program started getting big enough to protect the Pacific Ocean, the United Nations threw their support behind it and established the PPDC, the Pan-Pacific Defense Corp. And then those were the glory days of the program. The Academy was established a couple years in, and the world just adapted. I grew up running the six-ring circus that was the public eye, and I tried really hard to be overshadowed by Mom and Da, who had begun piloting Stagger Delta by then. Uncle Sirius and Uncle Remus had begun piloting Horny Grim by then, too, after the mess in Korea. That was the way of things for a long time. Over a decade of peace from 2016 to approximately 2029. Someone else could give you a more accurate date, but the kaiju... When the kaiju attacks became significantly more often. When my... Public support declined around that time. Kaiju started learning from the Jaegers and started to... win. Stag fell in 2030. Grim, 31. Around 28, 29-ish, I began to talk to the pilots in the Shadow Domes around the world. I even got to talk to Cherno Alpha before they were reassigned to Hong Kong and tried to raise support for the Jaeger program. It never used to be a problem until they started losing. Yeah, that went poorly. The United Nations switched from funding the PPDC to the WALL program in 2030, right around mid-November. I remember Hermione Granger, one of my best friends, was hopping mad about it. Both of us had met at a Jaeger fundraiser, and she already had a doctorate and a half to her name at 15 back then. We were both so young. Nothing we did seemed to work. No amount of campaigning, coaxing, or arguments about the wall structure seemed to reach the UN. I'd met Ron, Weasley, the same year I met Hermione, and by the time they'd cut funding, he'd only been a pilot for a year. He tried to appeal to them too, but no one was able to convince them. Sydney had to happen again for them to see sense. 2033, Mutavor broke through the wall, and only Blade Dancer, who had just been decommissioned, was able to take it out. I don't know if you've seen Victor and Yuri together, but they're one scary pair in a pond. Scary for the kaiju, that is. Blade Dancer ripped up Mutavor with a minimum of casualties. They do a hell of a lot better than some bloody wall. I guess that must have proven to the UN that the program was worth something. Dumbledore managed to gather everyone up in Hong Kong Shadow Dome and scraped off enough funding to finish some old Jaeger programs. That's actually what Swooping Mist was at first. Barely finished in time, it got its first run with Chrome Dokuro and Mukuro Rokudo for the first test runs, until Mukuro broke his arm in the double event. Fred and George, Weasley, they're Ron's brothers, rescued the Jaegers from the Shadow Dome, but it was too late for Mukuro's arm and Cherno Alpha. Skyfire was part of the double event, too, working with Swooping Mist and Wheezing Wizard to bring down Leatherback and Otachi. Tsunayoshi Sawada and Gokudera Hayato are quite the pair. I think they actually lit their hands on fire to overcome Leatherback's acid. No one can say that's not effective. Tsuna denies it was his idea, but we all know Gokudera wasn't the one with accelerants. He's the one with explosives. Anyway, once everyone who supported the Jaeger program, which at this point was down to about 3 working Jaegers with 2 in progress. The working ones were Cherno Alpha, of course, Skyfire, and Blade Dancer. Wizard and Mist were still undergoing repairs, or, in Wizard's case, actually being built. Fred and George, the pilots of Wheezing Wizard, are the only ones I know of who would actually be able to design and build a Jaeger without PPDC funding. I suppose their family helps, them being Fred and George Weasley. From what they've told me, they had the idea for Wizard for ages, even before the pilots started losing. After that, though, they started ramping up production. I know there's a lot of scraps used in its design. Parts of Gypsy Danger, Stagger Delta, Horny Grim. I think they even got some of Cherno Alpha to finish repairs after the double event. And of course, none of that would be possible without their sister, Ginny. Ginnerva Weasley. The best mechanic and Jaeger specialist I know. She's one of the hardest working people I know. Fred and George designed Wizard, but Ginny built her. Her mom and dad were part of the PPDC until they had to start layoffs, and Dumbledore hired them again right after Sydney happened a second time. So she and her brothers grew up around Jaegers their entire life. They have some wild stories. Just asked about, Ginny and the kaiju baby. Anyway, Ron, who I mentioned before, he and Neville used to pilot Cannon Army, before they got taken out by a Category 4 with an armor mutation. They both survived, but neither of them, they're not piloting anymore. And not just because they don't have a Jaeger. The point is, Ron's a pilot. Charlie works with Luna in Kaiju Behavioral Analysis. Bill and Fleur used to pilot Harpy Curse before Bill lost his arm. Percy lobbies for Jaeger funding. The twins pilot Wizard. Ginny helped build it. It's in their blood. So, it surprises no one when Ginny was hanging around Jaeger hangars. When she was 5, when she was 10, her entire life. She told me once about meeting my mom. She tagged along to a charity benefit with Bill when he was still piloting, and Mom happened to be speaking about the breakthrough they'd made with Mark III tech. Anyway, Ginny, she was only 11 at the time, walks up to her and starts asking questions about the hydraulics in the arm systems. And one thing led to another, and Mom got carried away talking to Ginny, who had a better understanding of the practical parts of Jaeger design than most people there. I think the twins heard of that, and it was her brilliance with Jaegers that they really had to count on. And that event was where her brilliance with Jaegers really started to show, and Miss Weasley finally took her seriously about that apprenticeship with the head mechanic. if you can keep up with my mom in her own field, you're clearly doing something right. Of course, I didn't really meet her until Hong Kong, but she was well established as queen of the shop by then. Ron, on the other hand, I met him a lot earlier. We'd both been trying to apply for the academy at the same time. I'd snuck away from Padfoot, who had been watching me, and went to the nearest recruitment center to try and apply. It seems stupid now, but back then I was furious that they weren't allowing me to help and fight. I was still in the media, dragged out every time a new kaiju hit, and that was the only time I mattered. I was 15 then, and everyone was used to kaiju. They understand they'd be protected and just got on with their lives. I doubt more than 1 in 10 really thought about kaiju every day like I did. When I met him at the station, though, man, someone else who was just like me. Of course, he got into the academy, and I got dragged off to another press meeting. We kept in touch, though. He would send me letters about what they were training in, and I'd send him pictures from all the charity events I went to. I'm pretty sure I got the better end of that bargain. It was at one of those charity events, though, I met Hermione. She had already been working on her second doctorate and wowing all these people near her with her math-based models of the breach. We were the only kids that young at the event, 15, and everyone seemed to think that that would make us get along. Lucky for their ideas, we did, and she told me about her thoughts on kaiju attack frequency for several hours. It's fascinating stuff if you can understand it. I can't, but the way she talked about it, like she thought kaiju attack patterns were something to be pored over. Well, I thought, that's just like me. We kept in touch, too. Through the whole wall funding disaster, the attack rates increasing, just like she had predicted, and public opinion turning. She got a job with the PPDC Science Division after she got her second PhD in numerical analysis. They funded her research into predicting when the next kaiju would arrive. She and Luna were the last of the PPDC scientists in Hong Kong. They had to share a lab. I hear it was rough. Hermione would come banging on my door at 11 and rant to me about what Luna was saying. Don't tell her, but I think she liked trying to figure it out. The important thing about them working together, though, is they started to share theories. And what they agreed on was that the kaiju were coming sooner, more often. Hermione predicted the double event. Luna predicted what type of kaiju would be in it. We still don't know a lot about kaiju or maid, though the fact that they are is something Luna insists on. Luna, well, about her, she had a bad case of kaiju blue when she was younger. It left its mark. She's right, though, dead on about their behavior and abilities, so much so that it's uncanny. Her and Ginny bonded over that, I think. No one bothered to ask, not when they were giggling over kaiju remains in the lab. I'm happy, but never ask me to be the one that interrupts them. Yeah, even when everything was falling down, we were all still there. And that was that. Nothing much changed in the Hong Kong Shatter Dome until the double event occurred. Until Luna and Hermione's predictions came true. And that was when the real damage started. We lost Cherno Alpha, and Weezing Wizard got seriously broken up. Blade Dancer made it out safely, since they were only deployed near the end of the fight, but Swooping Mist was nearly off as bad off as Wizard, and Mukuro's arm was shattered. Skyfire had serious burns down its arm from the setting self on fire incident, and there were a lot of questions from the public. I got to handle those, being someone the crowd knew, but there's There's no good way to tell someone, I'm sorry your husband died, but we can't do anything about it. After Dancer took out Itachi, Luna was near enough to find its baby, which was still alive for some reason, though it was dying. She and Hermione drifted with it. They still won't talk to me about how or why. Though, if Hermione is getting everything on record, I'm pretty sure we'll all know soon. Right after the double event, that's where things got serious, because Luna and Hermione were drifting with that thing for hours. Dumbledore sprung his plan when they were unavailable. Not around to tell them it was kind of stupid. Really stupid. You see, Dumbledore had this idea that based on Hermione's math-based models of the breach, if something interrupted it, the whole thing would collapse. This is actually a really well-proven theory, or so I'm told. It's about as much of a sure thing as you can get in theoretical mathematics dealing with interdimensional portals. So, the obvious solution was to send enough Jaegers to storm the breach and blow it up, right? And I'm sure you know, it's been done before. Well, the thing about this time is that we were the last hope. The double event made that clear. So it was decided to gamble it all. One final push against the breach. All or nothing. They loaded Wizard down with a nuke and some hasty repairs and sent her off with Blade Dancer, Skyfire, though Sky was missing most of her hand functions, and Swooping Mist. Me and Chrome, that is. Yeah, we're drift compatible. The thing is, we knew we'd be drift compatible. It's just something you know. When you can make it work, it just clicks. Of course, that's the hard part, actually making it work. But I've been around enough pilots to know. If you're drift compatible, you don't need the Quoon Room or fancy machines measuring your sync rates. You just are. So it's no surprise we got in Mist and then lit her up. What is surprising is we got her out of the hangar. It's thanks to Molly Weasley and Neville Longbottom that we did. I'd never been more grateful that they went into communication tech as that moment. So there we were. 4 Jaegers, 8 people, heading down hundreds of feet below the water, intent on saving the world. And that's when Hermione called. Well, not literally. Neville tells me she and Luna called him, and demanded to be patched through to our comms, saying that there was something important they needed to say. Neville, who knew Hermione, patched them through. What we got was frantic babbling in our ears, half a mile out from the breach. They told us it wasn't going to work. Not without kaiju biological material, that is. And so we formed a plan. Skyfire would lure the kaiju out. There was predicted to be another event soon. We had been planning on detonating before that happened, but we could use it to our advantage. Blade Dancer would take the kaiju down, Wizard would take the bomb into the breach, and we'd take the kaiju in right before them, once Dancer finished with it. It was a solid plan. The only problem? Wizard's left arm and leg were destroyed in the battle. Blade Dancer took out Skunner, Skyfire and Wheezing Wizard had to tag team Raiju, but me and Chrome weren't a match for Slattern, the first Category 5 ever. And the last. Wizard had to step in and take it down. Mist would have been mincemeat if she didn't, but that didn't make getting the nuke, which was strapped onto Wizard's back, any easier. What we did is me and Chrome detached it from their back and started trying to drag both it and Slattern's carcass into the breach. And then Blade Dancer stepped up. Skyfire would have too. We could see them down there trying to make her hands work, but Blade Dancer was the only one other than us with both working hands and legs. So we got to the breach. Blade Dancer threw Slattern over the rim, Chrome and I took a deep breath, and jumped in after. I can't describe the breach. Everything is snapshotted and fragmented, too blurry and too close. The best I can say is that it rippled. Space was distorted down there, and we lost touch of why we even had a bomb in the first place. I'm not sure what saved us, be it one side of the ponds or Swooping Mist herself. All I can say is after those endless minutes in blue light, the nuke's countdown was activated. We tried to swim out, but, well, it's impossible to swim upwards in a Jaeger. It's made of metal. It just doesn't work. So we activated our escape pods. Chrome first, then me, and got the bloody hell out of there. The last thing I can recall before waking up on the surface is the brilliant white of an explosion and alien faces turned to it, as if to the sun. And then I woke up, and we had won. This has been Harry Potter and the Kaiju Apocalypse, read and written by Weirenth, aka Robin Fire. The original text was written by Opal Song. This podfic is part of Pod Together, a challenge where writers and readers collab on a fic designed for podficking, and created as part of the Pensieve Project. The Pensieve Project is a project in which podfickers were given a single read of the base text, in this case, 5 snippets of a Harry Potter Pacific Rim fusion, and asked to record based on their memories. No rereads of the original material were allowed. I had a lot of fun with this idea, and I hope you had just as much fun listening to the result. Special thanks to the Pod Together mods for making such a wonderful event possible, Opal Song for enthusiasm and the wonderful original text. Please do leave a comment. The work is available on Archive of Our Own, under the Pod Together collection. Thank you for listening.